Today we start a new study. Study from the book of Acts. I know I preached from the book of Acts 4 years ago, but it is where the Lord is leading us to be. Maybe He's not leading us to have a... There we go. All right. Jesus is building His church. From the book of Acts, chapter 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, Jesus is assembled with His disciples, and we read, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, 'Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has placed in His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven.' And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman, with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, today we come to You, Lord, bowing before You, knowing that without You, we will not understand Your Word. So, Lord, I pray for the power of Your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and minds to receive the Word that You have prepared for us today. Lord, speak to us through Your Word. Help us, Lord, to understand all that You have prepared for us as a church family and for us as individual servants for You, Lord. Glorify Your name in this service. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to respond. Help us not to be a stiff-necked people, but to respond to Your leading as You so desire. I pray, Lord, Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build My church." Everyone wants to be a part of a growing church. Everyone wants to be a part of a growing church. Amen. You picked up on that, didn't you? A growing church doesn't sit in the pew and bide their time, okay? Everyone. But I want to point something out to you today. The fact is, churches do not grow. That's right. Churches do not grow. Churches are built. There is a difference. You see, the word growth, when we say church growth, that implies that you don't have to do anything, but through the normal course of nature, it's going to progress and get bigger and bigger and bigger. For example, a child, as he grows to be an adult. That does not happen in churches. You leave a church to itself, I promise you, it will not grow, it will decline. Jesus said, I will build my church. You see, building, on the other hand, instead of implying a natural process, building, when you say building a church, it requires active participation. When Jesus said, I will build my church, it was very deliberate. And you know what else? Jesus is still building His church. We read in the Word of God where that you and I are the body of Christ. Amen? As His body, we're His hands, His feet, His legs, and everything in between to carry out His will. Now, if Jesus is going to build His church, guess how He's going to do it? With His body. Does that not make sense? With you and with me. Everyone who wants to be a part of a growing church today, I want to challenge you not to want to be a part of a growing church, but want to participate in Jesus as He builds a church. There's a difference. Today, we began a new building program. A building program that has nothing to do with wood, carpet, concrete, sheetrock, or anything like that. But a building program that will build a spiritual building that will stand until Jesus Christ returns. That's what we're in the business of. Seeing souls saved. Seeing those souls who are saved grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and be a disciple. You see, that's what building a church is about. And today, if we want to start this process, you have to prepare to build. Do you know that? You ever seen a building that you did not make preparation for? Absolutely not. You got to do the groundwork. You got to do the money work and get everything in place before you start building that building. Today, that's what I want to do. Three very simple tasks that I want to task the membership of Victory Missionary Baptist Church with so that we're prepared to build. Are you ready? Okay. Are you ready? We're going to build a church. Will you join with me in building a church? Will you join with me in building a church? All right. This passive, we're not doing that anymore, okay? This passive pew sitting, I want you to join with me as we build a church. This is the first thing we have to do. And I want you to understand as I preach this today, I've preached this several times to myself already, and I am preaching it to myself as I preach this today, all right? My aim is not you, my aim is me. And I pray that as you hear this message today, your aim will be you and not everybody else, okay? First thing we've got to do is we have to learn to expect God's power. In verse 4 it says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me.'" I want to call your attention to the word wait right there, okay? That word wait does not mean to sit down and twiddle your thumbs, but rather it means to wait in expectation. They were to not just sit down and do anything, but they were to wait expecting God to do something awesome. And that was provide the promise of the Holy Spirit to empower the church. That's going to happen in the next chapter on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said in verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." All right? And so we're speaking of a church that is waiting in expectation of a supernatural power to do a supernatural job. A mountain moving, people changing, devil disturbing power that God has promised that church in Jerusalem. That's what they're waiting for. And you can just almost feel their expectation. They're waiting, knowing that God is about to do something awesome in Jerusalem. Let me ask you a question. See, this is the first thing we have to learn as a church, and that is to expect God's power. To expect things. You see, we get in this rut where we don't really expect anything to happen anymore. We've got to learn to expect God to move in services, to save souls, to open doors, to change lives. That same Holy Spirit that God had promised these people on the day of Pentecost, that He gave them on the day of Pentecost, that same Holy Spirit is alive and well today. And if 3,000 can be added in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem, then 3,000 can be added at Victory Missionary Baptist Church in Russellville, Arkansas. I believe that with all my heart. I do. We've just got to learn how to expect and quit coming to church. Or maybe I should say, quit just coming to church. Okay? I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do my duty. I'm going to fill in that blank, and then I don't have to worry about it until next week. No. No. Listen, when you came, let's be honest. When you came to church today, what did you expect? Another Sunday morning? Would you expect God to do something awesome? I tell you something. Preachers get in a rut too. Sometimes I forget to expect. I get so wrapped up in getting ready to preach and preaching a message, I forget. Hey, this is not about me. This is about what God's going to do. You know, when we come to church, we should expect to see people saved. We should expect revival to take place at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. We should expect to see these altars filled every Sunday. But we don't expect that. And you know what? We hit what we expect every Sunday. We do. Well, there's a new day. It's a new day at Victory. We're in a building program. A spiritual building program. And there is no more coming to church not expecting God to do something. Okay? Brother Doug? Listen to me. When I was thinking about this, I thought, Lord, if I pour this out there and nothing happens, I'm going to look like a big dummy. God says, preach it. Leave the result to me. So you know what? I'm expecting. I'm expecting people to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit today, not the message that Brother Doug's going to preach. I'm expecting someone to be saved today. Because in a crowd this size, there are people here who are going to spend eternity in hell. Today is the day of salvation. I'm expecting every time, and I want to make this commitment, and you may have to remind me on occasion, okay? But I want to expect every time I come into this church, God to do something awesome. Amen. Even on Sunday, Brother Doug, even on Sunday nights. Yes, on Sunday nights. Even on Sunday nights, I want to see God's hand in this church. Even on Wednesday nights? Absolutely on Wednesday nights. Every time we come together, I want to challenge us to have that mindset. Okay, God, what are you going to do today? You see, we've had it before. We have. It's time to start expecting to see the power of God. All right? Did you get that? Do you expect to see something today? Expect to see God do something today. Do you? Say amen if you do. Okay. Second thing we've got to do in preparing for a spiritual building. We've got to embrace our purpose. Verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. These guys, imagine, these guys are going to change the world by their witness. They're setting out to change the world. They knew exactly why they were there, and they embraced their mission. And that mission was the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then it's repeated in chapter 1, verse 8. It says, you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's what these guys are going to do. And guess what? They go everywhere declaring Jesus Christ. It's a pretty simple message, isn't it? To go everywhere declaring Jesus Christ. And on the day of Pentecost, they preach Jesus. And guess what happens? 3,000 souls are added to the church. Then in Acts chapter 4, they preach Jesus. And they're threatened. Don't you preach Jesus anymore. You know? Don't you preach the name of Jesus anymore. And then Acts chapter 5, guess what they do? They preach the name of Jesus. There's this old deacon later on in this chapter. His name was Stephen, and he was a contrary thing. He was so contrary, it didn't matter where he was and what he was doing. He was preaching Jesus. They stoned him. After that, Peter got a word from God that he was to go to Caesarea and witness to a centurion named Cornelius. Guess what he did? He went to Cornelius and preached Jesus. And the whole house of Cornelius was saved. And then God really gets with it. And he calls this wild man named Paul. Actually, he was named Saul. And he gives Paul the commission. And Paul just went crazy. He preached Jesus everywhere to everybody. Even when he was in Rome on trial for that could cost him his life. He's preaching Jesus. That's what we're about, is our witness. Do you understand? We are here to declare Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you get that? Amen. Okay? If you don't, you understand. I don't care who you are. You are here to declare Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God. Excuse me. Now, the question you've got to ask is, how is your witness? Well, let's do a test, okay? You ready for a test? Give me an amen. We're going to do a test. When you came in for worship today, did you know you were a witness? Your very presence here today was a declaration that Jesus Christ comes first in your life because you come to church on Sunday. And people saw you come. They went, well, I wonder where they're going. Oh, I know where they're going. They go to the same place every week. They go to church on Sunday. That's your witness. That was your witness. When you came in here, look around. Look around and see the people around you. Smile at them as you look because we don't want any big frowns. Okay? These people around you, everybody's witnessing. You're here to declare that Jesus Christ is important in your life. Just by showing up. Well, so let's look at the opposite end of the spectrum. What about those who don't come to church? You're saying Jesus Christ does not deserve first place. Every time you decide, well, I'm too tired to go to church, you're declaring Jesus Christ is not worth my time today. And people are seeing it outside this church. They drive by your house. Oh, I see the car is still there. They didn't go to church today. You see how easy it is to declare Jesus? Let's continue the test. You passed the first one because you're here. Amen? All right. Good job. Let's continue. You got here. Did you get here for Sunday school? Listen, if you came to Sunday school, you should say amen. I think I got the number. We were 259 in Sunday school, which is a little bit low for us. But that's okay. If you were here for Sunday school, say amen. All right. Good. Good job. You know what you declare? You declare the Word of God is important in your life because you attended Sunday school. And everybody else in there saw you attending Sunday school and saw that you were interested in the lesson that your teacher presented. And glory to God. Thank you. Praise God that you came to be fed from the Word of God. Good job. Oh, what about, let's go on. Your worship when you came in here. Yeah. When you came in here, let's look at your witness. When you came in here and Dale said, "Let's sing." Now I'm getting nosy, aren't I? Did you open your mouth and let her fly?
Amen.
Amen. A third of you did. The rest of you sung so low the person hearing sitting next to you couldn't hear. You were afraid somebody was going to hear you sing. Listen, we're not auditioning for Broadway when we sing at Victory Baptist Church, okay? You're not auditioning for a job. We're here to praise the Lord. And there's a difference between praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. I don't care what it sounds like, it's praise to Jesus. Open up and let her fly, because how you worship is a direct witness on how you feel about Jesus Christ. Amen. Let people see you worship. And people know if you mean it. You know, they know if you mean it. If you're sitting here, that's not worship. That's wasting your time. That's wasting your time. You're here to be a witness. Let your worship be a witness. Oh, listen. Mediocrity is not acceptable anymore. You know, even as pastor, and I've said this before, there are times that if I'm not careful, I get into, oh, that's good enough. That's good enough. No, not anymore. Not anymore. No. Mediocrity is not acceptable in my witness for Jesus Christ, because His sacrifice was not lukewarm. His passion for me was not lukewarm. His desire and His daily blessings for me are never half-hearted. May our witness never be half-hearted. Oh, listen. Most people try to work their faith around their life, and that's where we get in trouble. Try to fit our faith in with the life that we want to live. No. The challenge of today's message is to fit your life around your faith. Build that life based upon your faith. Learn to be a witness. And yes, that means even telling people about Jesus Christ from day to day. Okay? There's a lot of people who say, "Well, I think the life I live is witness enough." No, it's not. You're just chicken to say anything. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to live a good life. But don't, when God opens the door, don't hesitate to tell people about your Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? I know some people are a little better at it than others. But I'll tell you something. If you don't ever do it, you'll never get good at it. Tell them about Jesus. Be a witness. That is why we're here. Embrace our purpose. Embrace it. God's got us here for a reason. He's got you here for a reason. Did you know that? You're not here to miss hell. You're not here so that you can call out to Jesus every time you get in trouble and your life's falling apart. You say, "Oh, Jesus, rescue me." That's not faith. That's not who we are. Listen, who we are declares Jesus in every aspect of our lives. Who we are lets the world see what an awesome Savior we serve. Embrace your purpose. You know, what is your purpose? Have you got that place, that purpose where you're serving? Listen, if you're not serving, you should be. You should be. One of my favorite verses, this kind of, I guess, the theme verse for me, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. He told Timothy, preach the word. That's the most passionate thing in my life is preaching the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. If I could have a theme scripture for my life, that would be it. What's yours? What's yours? What's yours? You see, you've got to have something, some purpose in your life that declares Jesus Christ. What is it? If we want to see God build a church at Victory, we've got to expect things. We've got to embrace our purpose. And then we've got to be effective in our prayers. Effective in our prayers. And verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. That word continue means to persevere to the point of devotion so that people look at you and say, I know what he's doing. He's praying again. It's that kind of mentality. See, prayer was the centerpiece of these guys, of the faith of these men in Jerusalem. They were expecting God to do something big. They knew it was coming. And they're continually praying that God will do something big. Do you know big prayers result in big answers? You want to know why you don't see power in prayer? Because Lord, bless us, bless them, help us through the day is not much of a prayer. Okay? You want to see something? Name that person who's lost before the throne of God. Name that ministry that God needs to intervene in and give power to see souls saved. We've got to understand the concept of prayer. We think that if somebody comes to this altar and we see them bow this altar, you know what the first thought on most everybody's mind is? Oh, I wonder what they did this week. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I wonder what's up with them. It's because prayer has become so out of the ordinary in God's churches. When somebody comes to the altar, it's so, you know, you don't see it often enough that it kind of surprises you. Somebody actually walked the aisle and went to the altar. Oh, these folks in Jerusalem, man, they were praying. They were praying. They didn't care who knew it. And that's my challenge for you today. Listen, you got to get comfortable with praying again. God's people have got to get comfortable with bringing their burdens to the altar again. We've got to quit worrying about, well, if I come to that altar, they're going to think I did something. I don't care what they think. How about you? Okay? I don't care. I care what God thinks. And if you can sit there and it cross your mind, I should come to the altar and bring this burden before Jesus. Don't you stand there during the invitation. You bring that burden down to Jesus if you want to see the power of God do something. You know, we talk about all the time having a burden. Oh, pray for this. Pray, you know, pray for the people I work with. They're lost. How many times have you been to the altar to pour out your heart for those people? Oh, Lord, you know, my kids are in trouble. Y'all pray for me, you know, and we'll pour all these out in prayer requests during Sunday school. But we won't take the time to actually get serious with God and bring them to this altar and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Because somebody will see us. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. Kind of goes back to the witness. You Do you know somebody who's lost? Here's my challenge. Come invitation time in a few minutes. Bring them to the altar. I don't mean literally. I mean bring that burden to the altar. Lord, save John, Sue, Sam, whoever. Lord, convict them. Let them know that I'm praying for them right now. Do you have a problem? Is your marriage in trouble? You know, people want to do marriage counseling and everything, and that's good. That's all well and good, but are you strong enough to bring your marriage to the altar? Lord, make me a better husband. Lord, make me a better wife. You see, I truly, and I know I've mentioned this several times. Oh, Brother Doug, he's just on a tangent. No, I remember the day when every service, people were on their knees because they were burdened. And we're not burdened anymore. We're just biding our time. Oh, I go to church. I do my part. I give. Do you? Do you not realize that you are the building block? You are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And if you want to see the power of God, you're going to have to start on your knees. That goes for me too. That goes for all of our church staff. So I want to try something different today. I've asked all of our church staff to come up during invitation. Brother Greg will be here also. When they have this invitation, these guys are here to minister to you. If you have a burden for somebody, come and grab one of these staff guys by the hand and say, "Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me about, I have a friend who's lost? Will you pray with me about my children? Will you pray with me about my marriage? Will you just pray with me? I'm fighting the battle. Satan, he's just everywhere I turn. I just need the power of prayer." Grab some of these guys and get down on your knees and call out to the Lord. You want to see things happen in your life, you're going to have to start on our knees. That goes for every one of us. You see, we're a people who knows the importance of prayer. I share with you also, you know, every Sunday morning we have a prayer service right back there in that classroom right back there. You know, everybody's invited. Here's the deal. For some reason, I think there has been some misconception that that's only for the men of the church. No, it's not. I don't know how we ever got there. Let me tell you, there are some ladies I want praying in this church. Okay? So if you're available at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, come join us for prayer. If you want to see God build a church, I'm talking about God do it. We've got to be effective in our prayer lives and quit praying those little old Sunday school prayers that God bless us, God bless them, everybody's happy, amen. Today the challenge is to get serious. You see, what I realized as I was preparing this message is that it starts with me. Starts with me. I can't look at the membership of Victory and say, boy, if they would just... No. It starts with me. And that's the way you've got to look. Okay? You can't say, well, boy, if Brother Doug would preach louder, then we'd have... No. No. Well, if my Sunday school teacher was more interesting, we'd have... Our class would grow... No. No. Don't start with others. Start with you. Okay? Start with you. If God's going to do great things at Victory, I've got to put myself in a position to see God's greatness. Okay? That's my challenge to you. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're the building blocks, the living stones that God's going to use to build His church. Let me ask you, okay? Are you playing church, satisfied with mediocrity? Or are you ready to join me? And let's let Jesus build His church. Listen, we're right on the edge of a new school year. You say, Brother Doug, I don't have anything to come to the altar about. Let me give you some suggestions. We're on the edge of a school year, a new school year. Our kids are going back to school. They're going to be exposed to things that kids should not be exposed to. If you're a parent, you should be praying. We're on the edge of a new college year. Brother Kelly's all excited about the college students coming. I want to tell you, these college students are going to face things they've never faced before. They're going to have to learn how to stand on their faith themselves instead of relying on mom and dad. They're going to have to learn to stand, to learn to identify heresy. They're going to have to make the choices. I'm going to keep on serving God even though I'm away from mom and dad. Those college kids need your prayers. The altar's open. Let's let God build something. Let's allow Jesus Christ to build His church with us. And let it start here today. As our staff makes their way forward and Brother Greg makes his way forward for invitation, I want to offer you one more thing. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in grave danger. The danger is hell. Listen, there is a heaven. And if you believe in heaven, you got to believe in hell because they're both in the Bible. They're there. Today, stop running. Stop putting it off. Stop saying one of these days and give your life to Jesus Christ. This invitation will be for you. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen, if you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church and be a part of the body of Christ to join in as the Lord builds His church, you come during this invitation. Maybe you just need to come and pray at the altar. Come take some of our staff by the hand and let them pray with you. But don't walk out of here with the same old burdens, the same old problems that you walked in with. We serve a God that is greater than that. Our Father in heaven, Lord God of heaven, oh, how we need You today to build a church. And we know we're here not to just skate by, not to just be comfortable, but Lord, we're here as Your servants. Help us, Lord, that we may expect Your blessings. Help us, Lord, that we may look forward to those blessings every time that we gather. Help us, Lord, to embrace our purpose, to realize the seriousness of our mission of making disciples. And help us, Lord, to be effective in our prayers, that those little ditties that we're guilty of humbling be a part of a thing of the past. And may we pour out our hearts to You. Father, we need You in this service. Move in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray.